We start our third hour. It is our final hour. I am Jim Rome. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are efforting Franklin Session. He's a Drew League legend, member of the Big Three. We've had him on the program. He's got a great, great backstory. Really good story. So that's coming up for you shortly. Meantime, I will open it back up to you. Last time I did that, it did not go very well. And by last time, I mean like 10 minutes ago. Bunch of self-glossers broke out. For some reason, some of you thought that was pretty funny. 1-800-636-8686. In case you missed it, we've covered a lot of ground way back in hour number one. At the top of the program, I had some breaking news. Big 12 Media Days underway. And that meant one thing. Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy hit the podium. And the only question was not whether or not he'd get that thing turned around. They were 7-6 last year. He will. We know this. The question is whether or not the mullet still lived. Whether or not the mullet still lives. It does. And it's thriving. It looked amazing. So that's the good news. There has never been more business in the front, nor a bigger party in the back. The soccer rocker in all its glory. Man, it's majestic. It is absolutely majestic. In case you missed it, we had that in hour number one. And I showed you video, and it was beautiful. Dodgers on the East Coast, and they're tearing it up. You cannot say, yeah, well, we don't know. We don't know what they're all about. We're on the East Coast. We're asleep every time they play. Now they're doing damage and wrecking shop, and they're doing it on the East Coast. We talked about the Madden ratings. I'm not getting all fired up about that. I can't get worked up about that. That's not a hill that I want to climb, much less die on. We had Francisco Lindor on for the first time. I had Julie Ertz on the program for the first time. And Franklin Session is coming up momentarily. I also want to talk about Giannis, the Greek freak, NBA MVP. Tried to hit a baseball. Didn't go very well. It's not unusual. You've seen other athletes get up on the bump and try and throw out the first ball. That doesn't always go well. Hitting a pitch baseball is the most difficult thing to do in all sports. Except the problem for Giannis, this one was not pitched. It was on a tee. And that's not figure of speech. I mean, it literally was on a tee. And he still had trouble making contact. All right, let me do this. As I'm looking for Franklin Session, why don't we talk about birthday parties? It's that season, right? We've all been there. Some of you are still right in the middle of it. Some of you are still living it. You know, we have a child and your kid has a birthday party and then there's reciprocation. And this is what you do. Like if you're a parent and you have a kid between the ages of just came home from the hospital and say 12, chances are you have probably been to more birthday parties than you care to think about or care to remember. Because there comes a time in every adult's life when their weekends become nothing but a minivan tour of youth sports and birthday parties. Youth sports are not that bad of a thing. Like, your kids want to play sports. You want them in sports. You look forward to that. Birthday parties, though, are a different deal, especially if they're not drop-off, because that's mandatory. You're not there because you want to be there necessarily, but probably because you have to be there. So the two things that are universally true about kids' birthday parties are, once you go to one, you go to all of them, because parents trade attendance like currency. There is reciprocation. You go to my kid's party, I will go to your kid's party. And then you multiply that by the amount of parents that you know, and all of a sudden, every Saturday that you have gets vaporized right off the calendar. And it's not for weeks or months, but it's for years. Which brings me to the second thing about kids' birthday parties. If we're all going to be stuck at them every single weekend, and I'm beyond that age now, but I've lived it. I've been there. I know. And I wish that somebody had pulled me aside at that time. In fact, I used to sell this at that time. If we're all stuck doing this every single weekend, then the host better have some cold ones in the basement fridge or specially marked ice chest at the park. Look, the kids, you don't have to worry about them. They're going to have fun no matter what. You put a cake in front of a kid, they're good. That said, you put a brewski in front of a guardian who has to deal with that kid who's all cracked out on cake, then the guardian is going to be good. It's only fair. It's only right. And trust me, it works. I learned this early on. That's why our birthday parties were the best birthday parties. Not because we had the best house. Not because I'm the best guy. Although I pretty much was. Not because we had the best entertainment. But because I always had a chest full of iced Heinekens. Of course. But not everybody did. In fact, thinking back, I'm the only one who did. That aside, most of these parties actually seem to follow the same formula. The kids hang out, they run around, they're fueled out of their minds on sugar, they crush some pizza, they smash up a piñata, they sing happy birthday, they inhale a slice of cake, they grab a gift bag on the way out, and then they knock the hell out in the car on the way home. The variable, though, at these parties, aside from whether or not there's a beer or two, is the activity that keeps the kids occupied. I also live that. We tried everything. Every imaginable thing. We had every imaginable party. We had the Wiggles. Well, they were fake. We had a Star Wars party. We had a feeding zoo. We had everything. So maybe it's a face painter. A bounce house. We've done that. Or on a rare occasion, and this is something we have not done, didn't do, the local professional team's mascot will show up and collect a check and be the surprise entertainment. All right, this is leading to something. This is exactly what happened over the weekend at a kid's birthday party when the New Jersey Devils mascot rolled through to hang with a group of jubilant children for the very reasonable fee of $250. $250. Now, if you're thinking the Devils are like the Clippers and they've got a mascot that's got nothing to do with the name of the team, you'd be wrong. The Devils' mascot is, in fact, a devil. So the cartoon version of Satan was handpicked by some parent to hang out with kids who appear to be between the ages of maybe 3 and 5. I mean, nice going, Dad. You looking to scare the hell out of the kids? Was Freddy Krueger already booked out? Did the clown from It have a scheduling conflict? Was Jason and his chainsaw too expensive? The only reason I know about that birthday party that happened on Sunday way across the country is because of a video that's making the rounds. And the only reason a video from that party is making the rounds is because the New Jersey Devil mascot damn near cross-checked himself right through a window. Now, let me set this scene. A dozen little kids are inside a party space, and they're playing the parachute game. That's where everybody grabs a piece of a giant parachute, throws it up in the air, and runs underneath it before it lands. We've all done that. The New Jersey Devil mascot is also playing that same game. But instead of running underneath the parachute, when it goes up in the air, the devil takes off running 15 feet towards a giant floor to ceiling window, and for no reason whatsoever. The only thing that stops him from running is the giant floor to ceiling window. Listen as the innocent sound of laughter abruptly gives way to the terrifying sound of glass shattering all over the mascot. All right, that's not some like sound library thing. That's how that really sounded. That's the mascot turning and running away from the game and slamming right into a ceiling-to-floor slate of glass. And listen to the mom in the background. Listen to the mom's reaction. She goes that the devil, oh, nailed it. Nailed it.
Oh, my God. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Nailed it. All that's missing from the video, and I've been trying to show you the video. I'm sorry I couldn't get that for you if you're watching on CBS Sports Network. It's probably not that hard to find. You can find it yourself. But if you're listening on the radio, you heard it, and it sounds magical. The only thing missing from that video clip is the devil breaking character and yelling, "He glossed me!
He glossed me!"
Of course, the mascot's not going to talk, but the mascot could have broken character and screamed out, "He glossed me!
He glossed me!"
Except he'd be yelling at himself because he glassed him. it would have to be, I glossed me.
He glossed me.
I glossed me.
He glossed me.
I glossed me.
He glossed me.
So the guy who posted the video says that he's the father of the birthday boy. And he says that everybody is fine. Nobody got hurt. But if it's me, I'm going to put that mascot into a concussion protocol just to be sure, because he slammed into that window hard. The question is, why? Why the hell did the devil take off and run away from the parachute game? And could he not see out of that giant devil head? Or did somebody do such a great job with the Windex that the glass just disappeared in the eyes of the devil? This is why they stick stickers on those glasses, so you don't get glossed. And as you know, this is the window breaking show of record. If somebody gets glossed, you're going to hear about it on this show. If somebody is going through a window and getting glossed, it's going to be talked about right here. Back in March, I brought you that story of that country club, Donnybrook, that ended up with one member headbutting another member through the window of the clubhouse after some cheating accusations had been put forth, and then somebody, of course, got glossed.
You're a thief, man. You're a cheat. Brother, I don't care. I'll call you to your
face.
You're a thief. Because you are foolish.
Man, it's a gentleman's game. It's a gentleman's sport. You do not cheat at golf. Not unless you want to get headbutted through glass and get glossed. He headbutted me.
He glossed me.
But what makes today's story different is the devil mascot put himself through the glass. I guess you might not be allowed to self-gloss, but you can self-gloss.
He glossed me.
This guy self-glossed.
He glossed me.
No pissed off 22 handicap was doing it for him. He did it to himself. The only thing better than cracking a few cold ones at a kid's birthday party is watching a professional mascot crack some window gloss as he runs right through it. Let me tell you something, devil. Today, you're working for free. In fact, it's probably going to cost you something. I've got to assume that window is coming out of your paycheck. And don't try blaming the kids. Tape, don't lie. And the tape right here shows you taking off in a dead sprint to window country.
Nailed it.
Dude, how calm is that mom? Nailed it. You ever have one of your kids throw a baseball through one of your windows? We all have, right? Last time that happened at my house, I did not look at the window and go, way to go, Jake. Nailed it.
That's
a floor or a ceiling-to-floor window that this guy smashed. But all is well that ends well. And it should be no surprise that since that was a hockey mascot, he was not hurt at all.
It's in the mouth, teeth area. He'll be fine. He's a hockey player.
I don't know. Maybe next year, Pops. Maybe next year, you just book Buzz Lightyear.
He glossed me.
I wish I saw that at a birthday party. Not at my house. But I would have loved to have been to a birthday party when that happened, because nothing ever happens. Except there. He glossed me.
He glossed me!
Adam Hawk, what's up? Pick it up real quick. Give me an update. I know we're efforting. Have we located Franklin's session?
We have not, but we are out to him right now, and we should hopefully have him before the end of the program.
Thanks for that update, Adam. You handled that like a boss.
Thank you.
Way to go. All right, when we come back, phone lines are still open. Now, that does not mean I will take any more phone calls. It just means that they're still open. We are efforting Franklin's session. Love him and his backstory, so we will continue to look for him. Giannis v. hitting a baseball did not go very well for him. That's coming up. If you want to go off the board with something else, go right ahead and do that. Podcast Wednesday. It's no longer Podcast Tuesday. If you're looking for a podcast, looking for it to find you, it's not happening today. It will happen on Wednesdays going forward. Todd Furman is my guest tomorrow. We're going to talk things gambling. and what the legalization of gambling means, how it changes the way we watch sports. I'm kind of curious about that, too. I'm going to get into this with him tomorrow. If you're somebody who never really gambled before except like on the Super Bowl, maybe the Final Four, if it's more readily available to you now, are you more willing or more likely to do it? All right, we'll take a short time out. We're coming right back. You have your phone number. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome or just email us directly. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Romy, was that a mascot crashing through that glass? Or Charlie Weiss busting through the drive-thru window to retrieve his own food? Geoff and Lincoln. No, very clearly that was a mascot. Did I mention Charlie Weiss? No. And why would I? It's got nothing to do with Charlie Weiss. That was a mascot. The devil's mascot. I'm just not clear on why he turned around and ran away from the parachute game and right through the glass. Clearly he did not know there was glass. Never mind that it was a wall of glass. Worst thing I ever saw, though, was in a nightclub in London. And there's a mirror in this bar. And everybody looks into the mirror and they think, because they see the reflection in the mirror, the rest of the club. People walk into the mirror all night long. I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, are they trolling their own customers? Are they looking for lawsuits? So I was just off to the side watching it. It just happened over and over and over again. Of course, you've had a few pops. You're looking into the mirror, and what you're seeing is the reflection of the rest of the room. You think you're walking towards the crowd. Like, who would build that? It's like that mascot. What are you doing running through a glass wall? The mascot wasn't drunk. Maybe he couldn't see through his big mascot head. Just a mascot doing mascot things. Dear Romeo Void, the only thing missing from that daredevil doing a header through the window was Hans saying, shoot the glass.
Shoot the glass.
Hans! Pull back! You made your point, Hans!
Booby.
Thank you, cowboy. I'll take it under advisement.
Hit it again. Shoot the glass.
Hans is like, mascot, run through the glass.
Hit it again. Shoot the glass.
Smash the glass. Mock from the 216, War Dry, Browns, Buckeyes. Hey, I'm right, though. You've all been to birthday parties. You know how it is, like at a certain age, you go to a wedding every single month. At a certain age, you go to a kid's birthday party every single week. We all go through this cycle of life. And if you're in the midst of that cycle right now, that probably would have been a great change of pace. Again, especially if it was not your house. I mean, I would love it if some mascot ran through the glass of somebody else's house. I would think that's the best thing ever. Like, damn. The worst thing normally that happens at a party is the string holding up the piñata breaks. Or a kid gets into the cake before it's time to cut the cake and messes with the frosting. You know who I bet knows this well? Alvin. Alvin's got like 12 kids. And if Alvin's got 12 kids, then that means you multiply that by the number of parties he's got to go to. All right, I'm still efforting Franklin Session. So now would be a good time to call if you want. 1-800-636-8686. Now, it's often been said that hitting a pitch baseball is the hardest thing to do in all sports. I'm not the one who said it. I don't disagree with it, but I'm not the one who initially said it. It probably is. But before you get all bent at me for that, just understand that I'm just repeating the cliche for some context. I mean, there's no doubt. Trying to put a piece of lumber on a baseball zipping in from 60 feet 6 inches at 95 miles per hour with crazy movement is pretty freaking difficult. Now, you put that stitch up Rawlings on a tee, it's got to be the easiest thing in the world, right? Like hitting a golf ball that's not moving. hitting a baseball, which is bigger, on a tee has to be the easiest thing in the world, right? I mean, right? You've seen the hitting drills from the Little League level all the way to the show. Put it on a tee, maybe a little soft toss off from the side. But from the time that you're a kid to the time you're a major leaguer, you always practice hitting off a tee. Go down the tunnel of any major league stadium before a game, you'll see pros hitting off a tee. Pretty standard stuff. And if you went into the bowels of Yankee Stadium yesterday, you would have seen exactly that. A pro hitting off a tee. Except this pro wasn't and isn't an MLB-er. Not a baseball pro, a basketball pro. But no ordinary basketball pro, the reigning MVP of the association, Giannis. And for all the absolutely jaw-dropping things that the Greek Freak can do on the court, the one thing he simply cannot do is hit a baseball. And I mean, like, at all. I don't mean you take one guy from one sport and then let him take a little BP off some 75-year-old man who's lobbing it in there. I'm talking about hitting a baseball off a tee. The Yankees' official Twitter handle dropped some pretty amazing video yesterday of one of the best athletes on the planet getting straight turned inside out trying to hit a baseball off a tee. Listen as Giannis takes a Vlad Jr.-sized cut at a teed-up baseball, misses it entirely, smashes the tee underneath, and CC Sabathia is laughing his ass off. That sound you're hearing is not him squaring up the ball. That's not wood on ball. That's wood on tee. But I'll give him credit. He smashed the tee. Smashed it. Got a good piece of the tee, but he did miss the ball completely. The swing was bad. The stance was even worse. My man does not look like he's ever picked up a bat before. He looks like he's never picked up a rolled-up newspaper before, or a fly swatter, or anything at all above his waist. Seriously, you could break into this dude's house and live to tell about it if he came at you with a baseball bat. Despite CeCe howling at him, Giannis did get one more cut, and he did make contact, albeit extremely weak contact, but contact, and he got some pity, mercy cheers for it. Hey, way to go. Way to hit a ball on a tee, kinda. I'm not here to kill Giannis. I love Giannis. He didn't grow up playing catch. He didn't grow up shagging baseballs, hitting with his old man in the backyard, playing travel ball. In fact, up until yesterday, Giannis went 24 years on this earth without even holding a baseball.
Was that the first time you touched a baseball?
Yeah, because it was really heavy.
Yeah.
I thought it was lighter.
Yeah.
Because I saw Aaron, I think Aaron Judge, like hitting the ball to the stands.
Right.
So that's amazing.
That's amazing. You saw Aaron Judge hitting into the stands and said, that's amazing. No, what's amazing is the NBA MVP never held a baseball until yesterday. And he thought that it was heavy. Imagine what my man's going to think when he goes bowling for the first time and picks up a bowling ball. I do love this guy, though. Love his act. Man, he's refreshing, honest, really, really fun. Like on Sunday, when he told a crowd of Bucks fans to stop calling MVP or him MVP until he wins it again next year. And then he started his own MVP chant.
Please, after this day, don't call me MVP because until I win the game next year. So let's do it one more last time for this year, okay? One more last time, come on. MVP! 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 MVP.
Don't call me MVP. Do not call me MVP after today, because I'm going to win it next year. Oh, and by the way, let me start my own MVP chant.
Come on. MVP! MVP! MVP!
I just hope the next year he does take a shot at live BP. Because if him hitting off a tee was that awesome, imagine him trying to hit a ball with a little bit of movement. You might not be better at Giannis at basketball, but I think everybody listening right now can say they're better at him than baseball. Like that one guy was like, I'm faster than Tom Brady. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. But you and the rest of us are better at baseball than Giannis. And Giannis is going to be one of the best basketball players ever. We found Franklin Session. He's coming up next segment. If you're on hold, stay there. There's still a chance I might get to you. Here's your... Another good, good summer day. Welcome back. One last segment. I've got a good one. Still lots to get done. As promised, we are joined right now by a Big Three player, co-captain of the Killer Threes. He had 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a couple of steals last weekend. He is a Drew League legend, a 3-time MVP in the history of the Drew. Killer Threes are taking on the Ball Hogs Sunday in Oklahoma City. We are joined by Franklin Session. Frank, good to have you back. How are you?
I appreciate you guys having me on, man. It's been a while, but thanks. I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good, man. In fact, it was last summer you came in studio, and we talked about your amazing journey at that time. I know you're a busy guy these days. Bring me up to date. How is life treating you? What are things like?
Life is great so far, man. I just got back from Qatar immediately after that. Drew League started. And then shortly after that, the Big Three started. So I've kind of been go since last year.
We're talking to Franklin Session. I was going to ask you about Qatar. So you played in Qatar last season. You were named Guard of the Year in First Team All-League. What was the experience like both on and off the floor in Qatar?
It was lovely, man. It was beautiful over there. It was like a mini Dubai. They treated me real nice. I got to go out there and play hard and, you know, showcase my talent.
Then earlier in the year, as you mentioned, you were entered into the Big Three draft pool. What was your reaction when Thomas Scott in the league reached out to you? Did you think that was real, or did you think that somebody was playing a joke?
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was more so of them just hinting at, you know, me playing. I didn't think it was actually going to come full circle. So it was kind of funny when people started messaging more and I started getting emails and they sent over a contract. And I was like, wow, this is real.
And then when Steven Jackson reaches out and he asks you if you want to play, you said you screenshotted that and you sent it to your wife immediately. What was that moment like? And did you know at that point, man, this is real. This is going to happen.
That moment was crazy. I screenshotted, sent it to my wife, sent it to a couple other people. And I was like, yo, I think this is really about to happen. So it was kind of unbelievable, especially being, you know, alongside some of the Hall of Fame coaches and NBA All-Star players and champions. I was just like, man, I'm just happy to be a part of it all.
Franklin Session, my guest. You know, Frank, you played a lot of basketball, but what was the opportunity with the Big Three that appealed to you so much? What did you like about that chance?
I just liked that I got to play with, you know, some of the best in the world, some of the best that, you know, people try their life to reach that level of NBA, basically. And a lot of people don't get there, so being the guy that didn't get there, and I'm still, you know, amongst some of the people who did play in the NBA. I mean, it's just great to get that acknowledgement.
All right, so you're playing for Killer Threes as the co-captain alongside Jackson. What's it like to play or be playing with Stack?
Oh, man, I love Stack Jack, man. He's probably as real as they come. He's embraced me with open arms, and he's been like a big brother to me, man. He's everything he said has been 100% truthful, you know. And he plays the game with a level of passion that I thought, you know, only a few people had, one included myself. So it's just nice to go out there and compete with somebody like him.
You know, what's really interesting to me, too, is not only does he had that passion when he played, but he still has that passion. Like, if you see him and you watch him on social, like, he still has that passion. And then on top of that, you've got Charles Oakley. Oak is your coach. What's the experience like playing for Oak?
Playing for Oak, man, is... It's different. It's full throttle. He has the same passion and love for the game Stack Jack has. So we're all like, literally like the same people. So, you know, when they say something in a certain tone, I get where it's coming from. And it's different, but I can appreciate it.
Got Frank Oak. Like, we're running some video of him right now on CBS Sports Network. My man looks amazing. Amazing, right? He's taking care of himself. This guy... Oak must have, what's his discipline like even right now in this life and at that age?
He probably has one of the best I think him, Corey Maggette, Steven Jackson, like all them guys really just take care of their bodies and kind of stay in the gym and you know, just they stick to their routine. Even if they're not, you know, in the NBA anymore and not playing at a high level, they still stick to, you know, their workout routines, their typical regimen, you know, to stay in shape.
That's always interesting. Like some guys, they can't wait. When you spend your entire life and you're that dedicated and that focused and that disciplined, you can't wait to say, man, I'm done. I'm done with that life. I'm going to kind of let it go a little bit. I've earned that right. But some guys never, ever let it go. To your point, they stay with the routine. And then you had a great post on Instagram about a week back. It's a photo of you with Clyde Drexler, Dominique Wilkins, and Charles Oakley. Remember, you gave up your 9-to-5 job 2 years back, and you haven't looked back. What's it like now when you're with legends like Drexler, Wilkins, and Oak? Does it feel like it's all worth it?
Oh, man, 100%. Man, I tell myself that every day now. I couldn't believe that. It's funny, before that photo, after my second game, we pulled out like a tough win. Drexler, me and Drexler, Clyde Drexler, talked in the airport for about 20 minutes, man, and it was probably one of the craziest conversations I've had. Just hearing, you know, some of the stuff he said and him thinking I was an NBA caliber player, man, was just like just crazy to hear. It was surreal. That photo, it was funny when we took it in the hallway. Clyde Drexler introduced me to Dominique Wilkins, and then he was kind of like, "This is Frank. This is Frank Nitti. You know, this is." Like, he was excited, and it was just so crazy to hear Clyde Drexler talk about me that way. You know, like, you introduce your, like, talented friend to somebody else. It was kind of like that. So it was probably one of the dopest things, you know, that I've ever had happen in my life.
That is awesome. Franklin Session joining us. I love that that's your reaction to that, because that's got to be awesome. And then earlier this month, you were playing the three-headed monsters in Atlanta. Mario Chalmers was trying to guard you. I say trying because time and time again, you put him on skates. What was your mindset going into that matchup?
My mindset is the same for every matchup. Go out there, play hard, and I'm going at whoever, you know, is in front of me. I don't care who it is. I don't care, you know, what I got to do to help the team win. I'm there to do a job.
I get that. I understand that. I believe that. But I will say this. When you and I spoke, we talked about that legendary beating you put on Denzel Valentine last summer. And in part, it was motivated by the disrespect he showed to you and the Drew League. So when you play big three ball, do guys give you the proper respect? Has anything like that happened?
I feel like in any league that you go in, that you're new in, you have to earn your respect. And I'm used to that. I'm always an underdog. I've never played in the NBA. I'm pretty sure guys are going to go out there and not take me serious. I mean, I don't have a resume that they have. So I can't say that's what they say or that's how they feel, but I just know that's how I feel. So I got to go out there every night, every game, and go at them like, you know, I'm earning my respect all over again.
Franklin Session joining us. Listen, I get the opportunity, or I get the sense that you love this opportunity you have with the big three, but let me talk about the jersey for 1 minute. It says Session on the back. Are you all right with that, or is it time for the league to change that jersey to Nitti and let the people have what they want?
Man, I'm protesting right now. I want a Frank Nitti jersey, but they do one like nickname jersey and then one regular jersey. So, Steven Jackson told me that, actually. I didn't realize it. But I'm trying to get that. I'm definitely trying to get that set in stone. I just want my jersey to go online. I got a lot of people that say, you know, they want to support. And, you know, I've never had that. I've never been in the NBA. I've never had people want to, you know, buy my jersey and wear my name on the back of their back. So, I mean, something like that is you know, unreal as well. So I hope the big three hears this and they release my jersey online. So, I can see how many fans really support me, man. But it's been a crazy ride so far.
Franklin Session, it's been one of the best rides. Now, the thing is, you're not just playing Big Three. You're still playing Drew League ball as well. Why was it important for you to make sure that you kept on playing in the Drew League?
Because the Drew League is home, man. The Drew League is who made me who I am today. And it's kind of like an extra workout day. So if I can work out the day before a game, you know, why not do it? And there's a lot of people I talk to who are really passionate about the game and the Drew League, and myself, I'm passionate about it. So people come out there to see us play, and I don't want to let anybody down, and I want to just keep playing until, you know, the wheels fall off.
Yeah, Frank, the Drew League has got some extremely high-level competition, and it's a place where guys like to test themselves and their games. The Big Three is a spot where you're going up against NBA All-Stars all the time. Aside from the format, what is the biggest difference between those two leagues?
The biggest difference, man, I will say, you, not every single game you're going up against, you know, an ex-NBA, you know, Hall of Famer or a Hall of Fame coach or an NBA champion. Some games in the Drew League, you won't have that. Every game in the Big Three, you either have a Hall of Fame coach or you got an all-star, you know, player coming at you. So I would say that is a different element to it. Guys are exploiting weaknesses. Guys are, you know, scouting. It's so much different in the Big Three because, I mean, you only get, you know, 10 weeks to basically win it all. So it's pretty intense. The Drew League's a little longer, and I don't think teams scout or anything as much. So the Big Three is just next level, to be honest, man. It's, you know, the best in the world competing in it.
Hey, let me ask you this. For those who did not hear our conversation last summer, we talked about the road that you've traveled. It has not been an easy one, to be sure. There have been some setbacks. There's some moments where it may have even seemed like it might be over. And now you're a legend, and guys like Kobe, James Harden, Jamal Crawford, they're packing gyms to see you in the Drew League, and you're playing in the Big Three League. I mean, how does that all feel?
You can't really put stuff like that into words, man. I have had like multiple NBA guys like message me asking me when I'm playing, or you know, they want to come out and support or come see a Big Three game. Like stuff like that is unreal. Like I was just working a 9-to-5 two and a half years ago, man, 2 years ago. So it's like you guys want to see me, man. I've been watching you guys on TV for forever, so it's crazy to see. But they understand the passion. And, you know, how much intensity I bring to the game. And that's just fun to watch. You know, today's NBA, you don't get to – you see people go at it as much anymore with the flagrant calls and referees, you know, trying to clean up the game. With the Big Three, man, they just let you go all out and play. And same as the Drew League, man. You can go out there, talk smack, and get after it.
So finally, you're the kind of guy that young kids come up to you. They ask you for advice when it comes to basketball. And one of the things you tell them is try to stay on the floor. What do you mean by that, and how valuable is that experience of just continuing to be on the floor and learning all the little things about the game?
I will say, man, you have a lot of information. You hear just about everything, Jim. But that's funny.
Appreciate
you said,
man.
That.
Yeah.
That's funny you said that. I do get a lot of like people that hit me up saying I'm a big influence. To be honest, man, I wasn't good all my life, and I tried to stay on the floor and help win games, and I was just a role player. And to be honest, I was subbed in for defense, and I was subbed out for offense. So kind of just being on the floor helped me become, you know, who I am today. Like just winning and understanding that, you know, you don't have to be the best player on the court at that time. There's still intangibles you can do that'll keep you on the floor. Like, you know, if you're a great defender, great rebounder, and you can get the guys who can put it in the basket the easiest, the ball, I mean, that's valuable. Like, NBA needs players like that, that they have their main scores. It's hard to get a guy to come in and buy in and be a great role player. Iguodala, for example, I mean, he's probably going to go down as one of the best role players to ever do it, and he was a star at one point in his life as well. So I just try to tell guys all the time, just do whatever it takes. The intangibles like rebounding, defending, making open shots, or, you know, getting somebody else an open shot. Little stuff like that keeps you on the floor and makes it where it's hard to sub you out.
So good. He is a Big Three player, the co-captain of the Killer Threes, a Drew League legend, a three-time Drew League MVP. Killer Threes and Ball Hog Sunday in Oklahoma City. Frank, so good to have you back. Appreciate you very much, man. Thank you. Franklin Session, Saturday night, Manny Pacquiao, eight-time Division World Champ going up against Keith one-time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship. It's live from the MGM Grand, Vegas, Saturday, 9 Eastern. Order right now, live on pay-per-view. Also available on the Fox Sports app.